It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the Fantasy Feast Playoff Edition. Talking about Saturday's games. I said that we'd only do one going forward. I lied. We're going to be doing two. Why not? We're going to do Saturday's editions here on today's podcast, Sunday's edition on tomorrow's podcast. RossTucker.com, always the hub for this and any of the other RT Media branded podcasts, like the Ross Tucker Football Podcast and the Even Money Podcast with Pregame.com's Steve Fezzik, which has already posted. My name is Ross Tucker. If you're just along for the ride here in the postseason and you're into daily fantasy and you want to know who you should be picking up this weekend to make these playoff games a little bit more entertaining for you, having a little something in the game over at a daily fantasy site like DraftKings.com, well, you have come to the right place. I played in the NFL for 7 years, had an awesome time. Now I get paid to just talk and write about football, especially here on this podcast with Evan Silva of RotoWorld.com. He is the fantasy guru. We're going to be heavily slanted towards daily fantasy for obvious reasons here in the postseason, looking specifically at the values of players over at DraftKings.com and who you should consider picking up for this weekend if you're going to play daily fantasy and win a ton of money, like our buddy Al Smizzle at Alvin Zeidenfeld, who joined us a couple weeks ago. Like I mentioned, RossTucker.com, that's always the hub for this and any of the other RT Media podcasts. You can also find the link to this podcast there. So basically, anything you need to be able to listen to this wherever you are, any device, it should be at RossTucker.com on the Fantasy Feast page. If it's not, please let us know. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter. He is at Evan Silva. Brian, who's our producer and the first one that posts the podcast, is at RTF Podcast. They'll give you any of the updates on the pod as well as soon as it has posted. Let's start, Evan, because I know you're anxious to get into Saturday's games. I am as well. I've got a lot to say about these games. We might even, by the way, since there's not as many games to break down, we are definitely going to go a little bit more in depth, but we might even be able to get to an email or two that's been stored up pretty much over the whole season since we didn't have a chance. So RTFP at RossTucker.com. Put fantasy in the subject line if you would like to send us an email. I'm just curious, Evan. We spent so much time in July and August talking about different strategies, like the late round quarterback, like zero running back. You know, I know you talked a lot about taking two tight ends high. We're going to get into this in depth in February and really look at each strategy. And by the way, I'm sure what you're going to tell me is, hey, Ross, just looking at those strategies based on 2014 is not very smart, because it's kind of a limited sample size to just go on any of those strategies based on any 1 year, right?
Right. I mean, the simple fact that Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning and Drew Brees weren't productive during the fantasy playoffs, that isn't the reason that you shouldn't use early round draft picks on quarterbacks. It's because, you know, the reason that you shouldn't use early round draft picks on quarterbacks is because it's a suboptimal strategy. And, you know, I mean, it's we talked about that all offseason, why it's not the best way to go. But it's not just because, I mean, don't let recency bias affect the way that you operate, you know, going forward. I mean, this is just one season, you know, among many. Those were three games by each player among 16. I mean, you can't just say, oh, well, this happened in this season, in this small sample size, therefore I should change my strategy, you know, based on that. I mean, the best way to approach it is to look at years and years of data and, you know, try to use that to our advantage to try to gain an edge, you know, not what happened over the course of 2 or 3 weeks out of the season.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. You know, your two tight end strategy, you know, Julius Thomas trailed off, mm-hmm. and Jordan Cameron never really got there. But and Jimmy Graham trailed off a little bit as well, but that could have been an awesome strategy if you had, like you did in one league, Gronk and Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, I think that Jimmy Graham underperformed. I mean, he got hurt, and we've seen now several times throughout his career where his performance takes a pretty big dip when he plays injured. Of course, injury is difficult to predict. He's had some injuries. He hasn't missed like a lot of games over the course of his career, but he doesn't excel when he's playing hurt. I think I can fairly confidently say that. Rob Gronkowski started pretty slow, but you know, by week four and from that point on was one of the most dominant players in fantasy. So I think that you were, you know, very competitive to good if you drafted one of those top three tight ends for most of the season. And then, you know, if you drafted Jordan Cameron, you were out of luck. But I think that, you know, there are a lot of different ways to win in fantasy. I think that was just one approach, just to be open to the idea of taking two touchdown scorers early in a draft. And the same goes for the zero running back strategy. Be open to, you know, how does the board fall? If you don't like those running backs, you know, I mean, you can skip them until the late rounds and then use the waiver wire to secure guys like C.J. Anderson or Jeremy Hill. I know hit the waiver wire in a lot of leagues. And those guys were league-winning running backs. Justin Forsett was another guy who was available on a lot of waiver wires. And probably, you know, I mean, he ended up on a lot of fantasy championship teams.
Was this year more of an indication in the value of taking a running back high like a Jamal Charles? And, you know, it was all Jamal Charles, Shady McCoy. And even if you look at what DeMarco Murray and Le'Veon Bell did, was this year evidence again of the value of getting one of those top running backs if you can? I know Shady McCoy disappointed, but I mean, if you look at Le'Veon Bell, you look at DeMarco Murray, you look at some of these guys, would you say that just re-enhanced or, you know, reinforced the value of that?
I think that's a good question. You know, about a month into the season, we were chalking up Eddie Lacy and Jamal Charles and LeSean McCoy and, Adrian Peterson. They were all disappointments, and we had, you know, different feelings on, you know, looking at those running backs than we do now. I mean, Jamal Charles was a monster for, you know, 80% of the season. Eddie Lacy was a monster for, you know, 85 to 90% of the season. Le'Veon Bell was for 100% of the season. I think, you know, every season I put out a top 150 leading into the year. And I think that the way that I rank those guys will not be totally different from how I did last year, where I had like five running backs in the top five. And then we'd start looking at wide receivers and tight ends. And, then I had DeMarco Murray like toward the end of the first round. And then, you know, a bunch of wide receivers. I mean, I think that that's how I'll probably rank again. I don't think that my rankings will change based on anything that happened this year. But, you know, no question. I mean, having a guy like Le'Veon Bell or Jamal Charles or Eddie Lacy on your team, you know, that gives you a big advantage, because a lot of teams do struggle to find running backs, you know, especially when they're not good at working the waiver wire.
All right. Well, without further ado, let's get into it.
Next meal.
All right. Only two games on Saturday as discussed. First one, Arizona at Carolina.
Very, very interesting matchup from a fantasy perspective. Because I guess we can look at both sides of this. It was interesting, Evan. I spoke to Greg Cosell earlier this morning for the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, and he mentioned how last year when Arizona played Carolina that they blitzed the crap out of Cam Newton, and they sacked him seven times. So the combination of Todd Bowles bringing the pressure and taking down Cam seven times, and the fact that you see what San Francisco did with Colin Kaepernick and Frank Gore running the ball against Arizona last week, and the idea that maybe Lindley turns it over a couple times. And I wonder if a guy like Jonathan Stewart doesn't still represent some value at like 5,300 on DraftKings. There's kind of a big drop-off between Jonathan Stewart and then the guys below him like Reggie Bush, Boom Heron, Dree Archer. Jonathan Stewart is the last of the guys that are valued above 5,000. He's at 5,300. But still, when you compare that to Le'Veon Bell, 9,000, DeMarco Murray, 8,800, Jeremy Hill, 6,200. I'm curious if you find value there or you think that Arizona will get their run defense back in gear for this game.
Well, it's an interesting point. If I recall correctly, I think Darrell Washington had a monster game against Carolina. Of course, he's not there. John Abraham is not there anymore. You know, you just look at the Cardinals' personnel, and they don't have good players on defense. I mean, they have some, but they don't have, like, great personnel. So, and then you look at the way that they collapse defensively. I mean, it wasn't just against, you know, Frank Gore and Marshawn Lynch, who both had monster games against them in weeks 16 and 17. They got lit up pretty good, you know, against the pass and against dual threat quarterbacks by Colin Kaepernick and Russell Wilson. Both had big games against Arizona. So Cam Newton, you know, again, he falls into that classification of the, you know, that kind of a quarterback. And Carolina has really taken the reins off him as a runner. I mean, they are running him aggressively at this stage of the season. They're not worried about trying to develop him as a pocket passer anymore. They're just trying to win football games. So I look at the quarterbacks on the week 18 slate, and I really like Ben Roethlisberger, and I really like Tony Romo. And I think that Cam Newton could be, you know, like under-owned in a daily league, but he could be, you know, he could be on the championship team that wins a big tournament because of the way that the Cardinals have really struggled against dual threat quarterbacks in each of their last two games. And, you know, they play a lot of man coverage, and running quarterbacks can exploit that. Russell Wilson had, you know, these teams play twice a year, these NFC West teams, of course. Russell Wilson had two big rushing games against Arizona, as did Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick had, I think, 7 for 63 on the ground in week 17, and earlier in the season had like 12 for 54. And those are, you know, very productive rushing days for a quarterback. I do like Jonathan Stewart, and I really like Cam Newton as a kind of contrarian quarterback play. I'm not sure a lot of people will be on him because the over-under on this game is so low. It's 38 points.
Yeah, Cam Newton is the second highest priced quarterback at DraftKings.com behind Andrew Luck, who's at 8,800. Cam is 7,600, obviously accounting for those rushing yards. I just think the combination of as much as Arizona blitzes, I wonder if Carolina is going to try to put even more into the running game and try to pound it on them like San Francisco successfully did last week. The other thing I found really interesting that Greg pointed out on the Ross Tucker Football podcast today, Evan, was that he thinks Ryan Lindley showed a lot of improvement from week one to week two starting for Arizona. And yes, he threw some interceptions, but he thinks the way he throws the ball and drives it down the field, he actually thinks Lindley is a better option than Drew Stanton at quarterback for Arizona. Now, the way these daily leagues work, and I'm just getting into it, but you really got to get a guy kind of against the grain that really does well to really win, right? I mean, to really win the big prize, you got to do something that most other people aren't, and you got to hit on it, correct?
Yeah, I mean, there are a bunch of different ways to approach it. One of them is to try to go contrarian, go for a guy like Ryan Lindley. I think that, you know, Cam Newton will be somewhat contrarian because I think that a lot of people will be on Roethlisberger or Romo. I think that Luck might even be a little bit contrarian just because I think that Roethlisberger and Romo will be very high owned. So one way to approach it is to try to pick guys that you think will not be high owned. And then if all those guys go off, you know, you're sitting pretty. Another way is to just try to pick the optimal lineup. You know, try to pick who do you think will perform the best? Who do you think gives you the best chance to perform the best in every slot? And, I mean, I think you can win that way too. So I don't think that there's one set strategy to try to win a big tournament on a daily league site. The way that I do it is I try to go with the optimal plays. And I mean, I've had some success doing that. I've also had some success going contrarian. Like I finished really well in a tournament one week when I used Mettenberger and Justin Hunter in the same lineup. And Justin Hunter had, you know, a long touchdown and Mettenberger threw a couple, and those guys were cheap. So I was able to, you know, stack up the rest of my lineup with studs. So I don't think that there's one set strategy, but if you want to take a contrarian strategy, Ryan Lindley, you know, should probably be on your radar. At the same time, I think he's far from an optimal play. He's on the road against Carolina, which has played really, really good defense down the stretch. They found a great mix at cornerback with Josh Norman and Bene Benwicker.
Is that how you say it? I've been saying Benwickery. I didn't even know. You might be right.
No, man.
I honestly don't even know. I've been saying Benwicker. Benwicker. That's what I was going to say to you. You watch Carolina play, and Josh Norman, Bene, even this Trey Boston, they've got dudes I've barely heard of balling on the back end right now.
Dave Gettleman. He's a stud, man. I mean, he's probably the most underrated GM in the NFL.
I'm glad you said that because he totally revamped their salary cap situation this offseason because he had to. And he couldn't get rid of D'Angelo Williams and Stewart, and they won the division anyway. So for Arizona, the way Lindley throws interceptions and the guy and you got Kuechly and Thomas Davis, who might be the two best, you know, pair of pass coverage linebackers, I don't like this matchup for Lindley.
Right. Yeah, I don't like it for anybody on the Cardinals. I mean, it would be a contrarian approach to use pretty much anybody on the Cardinals. And it would be suboptimal. At the same time, you can win that way. I do think that the running backs are a little bit interesting. I think that Kerwin Williams is interesting.
Who?
The painter.
Okay, thank you.
The Panthers' weakness is in run defense, whereas they played really strong pass defense over the final month of the year. I mean, quarterback's touchdown interception ratio was 3-5 against them. And I mean, quarterbacks completed under 56% of their passes. Running backs averaged 4.82 yards per carry against Carolina over the final month. The thing is, I'm not sure of his workload because it seems like Bruce Arians just rides the hot hand. So I don't know who's going to get carries. It could be Stephon Taylor, but Kerwin Williams is really cheap on the daily league sites and the matchup is good.
Yeah, you know, you look at Kerwin Williams at DraftKings, he's valued below D'Angelo Williams, below Dree Archer, below Reggie Bush and Daniel Heron. I mean, he's at 3,700, which isn't just below them. That's $300 below D'Angelo Williams, way below Dree Archer. I still think that represents pretty good value. But then again, I am partial to the painter. Speaking of DraftKings.com, you guys got to check this out. I mean, I'm telling you, that's what the playoffs are really about. Nobody has a season-long team anymore. It's all about one-week fantasy, and it's all about DraftKings.com. You heard our guy, Alvin Zeidenfeld, a couple weeks ago, won $350,000. Well, Dave from Boston won $1 million, Matt from Florida $1 million, Ray from New Jersey $1 million. DraftKings has crowned a new millionaire nearly every week this season. The football action continues through the playoffs. Plus, they do other sports, hockey, college, NBA, college basketball. You're into it? Go for it. Head to DraftKings.com now. Use promo code FEAST to play for free in the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter FEAST for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
What's up, you mutts? It's Kevin Clancy, better known as KFC from BarstoolSports.com, the most popular guy website online. Now we're doing the Barstool Network, which is everything that's great about Barstool, brought to you in podcast form. We've got two podcasts. Mail Time is for the average working guy in the cubicle looking to escape his day with relatable stories of 9-to-5 life. KFC Radio is like every drunken guy's conversation with his friends, but with me and your favorite other Barstool personalities.
Download it now at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Next meal.
Well, Ross and Evan, the other Saturday game to talk about, the Baltimore Ravens at the Pittsburgh Steelers.
So as of when we record this, you know, Le'Veon Bell's not expected to play, although he told Aditi Kingbala of NFL Network that he's feeling better. He feels great. So this is one of those that's going to come down to the very end. With his salary on DraftKings being $9,000, I can't do that. Now, that might be a contrarian way to go because everybody's going to stay away from him thinking he doesn't play, but – man, that would really – I can't do that. That's – I mean, he's more than twice as expensive as, like, Kerwin Williams and some of these other guys.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play. So I'm just – I have him totally written off. You know, maybe I would second guess. I mean, not only is he banged up, but the Ravens have, you know, a top five run defense. So I'm totally staying away from him.
I think they'll be in a lot of empty – I think Big Ben will be doing whatever he can to try to throw it. Now, they're going to protect him, but, you know, they're going to be in a lot of empty sets, especially if Bell doesn't play. Is there value potentially in Jerry Archer or a guy like Josh Harris at $3,500? I mean, is that like, hey, you know what? Maybe Josh Harris has a good game.
You know, I would like them if they were at – I would like Josh Harris maybe if he was at min price, but I don't think that he is. I know that on FanDuel he's actually more expensive than Dan Heron. And then on DraftKings it sounds like he's, you know, above min price.
Yeah, he's at 3,500. So. Boom Heron's at 4,700. The minimum is 3,000.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, I think he has a chance to punch in a goal line TD or something like that. I mean, I don't think he's a bad player, but I don't think he gets any more than 12 carries. And, you know, Jerry Archer, I would avoid. I don't know if he's an effective NFL player, to be perfectly honest with you.
So what about in this game, do you like a Wheaton or a Martavis Bryant in this game because of the Ravens secondary?
Well, I think that the optimal stack is Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown, because without Le'Veon Bell, how are the Steelers going to move the chains? It's going to be with a lot of pass attempts, probably a lot of quick stuff. They're going to get the ball out of Roethlisberger's hands quickly. I don't think that any defensive backs on the Ravens are capable of hanging with Antonio Brown. I mean, I think this is a 10-to-12 catch game for Antonio Brown, maybe more. You know, I think he gives you a ton of upside. He gives you a great floor. You know, I would love that stack together. I love Martavis Bryant. I haven't done my full examination of this past game in terms of snap counts and how he's being used yet, and that'll be in my column, which you can read on rotoworld.com later this week. But you know, I think this is a potentially huge Martavis Bryant game. He lines up on the perimeter, and that's where the Ravens really struggle at cornerback. They don't really have anything on the perimeter to slow down a guy like that. So I think Roethlisberger has 40-plus pass attempts. I mean, I think he might have 50, and I love all those guys. I'm not a big believer in Marcus Wheaton as a player, but this is a game where he could have a big game. You know, because the matchup is good, and I think Roethlisberger ends up throwing the ball a lot. And he's cheaper than Martavis Bryant. So I think he'd be a little bit contrarian, and he gives you some pretty good upside in a great matchup.
What about the Ravens offensively? I mean, is this a a Justin Forsett game in your mind, or is this a Torrey Smith type of game, or both?
Yeah, it could be a Forsett game. I don't know the status of Eugene Monroe, and I know they ran it on the Browns in their last game, but I would feel a lot better about Justin Forsett if he has, you know, one of his offensive linemen there. I mean, they're already without Rick Wagner, their right tackle, who had a great year. I don't know if Eugene Monroe is going to play. My guess is that he will, just because of the fact that it's a wild card game. I'm looking at other RBs this week, but I don't think Justin Forsett is a bad play. I mean, the Steelers' run defense is not strong, and the Ravens are a foundational running offense. So he should get the ball a good amount.
That'll do it, by the way. Boy, these go fast. That'll do it for a Saturday Fantasy Feast Eaton podcast. We will be back, however, tomorrow with a Sunday fantasy breakdown. We'll get a little bit even more in-depth on the Sunday games, maybe get some ideas from Evan as some quarterbacks or defenses to stream this week, and some coaching change thoughts, if there are any. So please make sure you're downloading tomorrow's edition of the Fantasy Feast podcast as well. We might even get to some emails as well. I'm hoping to get to some emails here in the offseason. There's some very good ones that are out there. RossTucker.com, always the hub. He is at Evan Silva on Twitter. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. Bri is at RTF Podcast. We appreciate anything any of you guys do to spread the word about the Fantasy Feast. I'm stuffed, at least for Saturday.
Thanks for downloading the Fantasy Feast Eaton Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast and the Even Money Podcast as well, all of which are available at RossTucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
When you're ready to buy a car, TrueCar is changing car buying forever. Yes, TrueCar helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Everyday TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings, and TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, download the TrueCar mobile app or go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then, register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Take your guaranteed savings certificate to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. With TrueCar, you can save time, save money, and never overpay. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today.